Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Courtney, and welcome to Public Advocate. My guests today are Gail and Tawny Dixon. And Gail has been my guest recently, all the way from New Zealand. And there is, I have been saying censorship kills, because censorship does kill. It's more dangerous than the actual vaccine, because if people would report, either in the emergency rooms or on the media, that the children are dying or going into severe distress, this would have stopped so long ago, I don't even have words. I have talked about this nurse in an emergency room who says 1 in 1,000 of these cases, vaccine injury cases, get reported. Over the course of 6 years in 3 emergency rooms, this nurse has said 1 in 1,000, okay? And I contend even maybe worse than that. So the various reports are just a joke. It's the tip of the iceberg. And we're going to talk today about the New Zealand at the heart of the HPV scandal, the media's silence, and the lack of official response. So that is the title that Gail Dixon gave me for this program, and I think it's pretty comprehensive. I'm going to add a lot of information in the comment area after the show. 2 articles she's written are directly under the screen, but if you scroll down to the comment area, I'm going to include my last interview with her, and whatever else we refer to today will be included as well, because a lot of articles have been written, and only 1 in the mainstream media. It was reprinted by the Weston A. Price Foundation. Their article, they're a not-for-profit organization, and they're very glaringly anti-vaccine. But because they're a not-for-profit organization, every now and again, they make it through into the mainstream media, and they did in the Yahoo Finance, mind you, the finance section, their article about this cover-up was printed. So it actually has gone mainstream, but only in 1 outlet, and this is explosive news. I just wanted to say Gail has just told me that she hashtags say no to Gardasil, and that's 2 A's and an I, G-A-R-D-A-S-I-L, and we'll put that in the comment area as well. And another hashtag that we are creating specially for Dr. Lee's letter to the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the Global Alliance, or Global, what is that called, GAV, Gail will tell you in a second. But all these major players, we're going to hashtag PV scandal. So it's hashtag HPV scandal. And I've been dying to have something to hashtag that with for some time, but I really want to read a letter, not a letter, just a paragraph from Dr. Lee, who has taken this New Zealand Freedom of Information Act letters that disclose the cover-up of the science that was important for the Japanese government to know. This is very important. Let me see if I have it readily. I know I didn't. Oh, yes, here it is. I believe this is it. Okay. Let me scroll up. Here it is. But, quote from Dr. Lee. Those whose names appear in my complaint and any who blindly dismiss valid safety concerns in order to continue promoting HPV vaccinations should be held accountable for their actions. There is no excuse for intentionally ignoring scientific. There is no excuse for misleading global vaccination policymakers at the expense of public health interests. There is no excuse for such a blatant violation of the public trust. Dr. Sin Hang Lee. Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. We have an event on February 13th in New York City. We are going to be having vaccine ethics and oxymoron. That's where we've come to. Vaccine ethics and oxymoron. And we are doing it on the same date as the CDC whistleblower town hall meeting in Atlanta, Georgia. And the CDC is also involved with this cover-up in regard to the HPV vaccine. So it's really a meeting about exposing what legislators absolutely must know, what pediatricians must know. These people are calling the shots and administering the shot, and they absolutely must be completely aware. So I'm in this effort, I bring on my honored guest, Gail Dixon. Welcome, Gail.
Hi, Fanny. How are you today?
Well, spill the beans, babe.
Good girl, good girl. I first of all, let me explain what the letter that Dr. Lee put out was. He sent it to Margaret Chan, who is the Director General of the World Health Organization, the WHO. He copied in the Ministry of Health in Japan, the Health, Labor and Welfare. Copied in director of the CDC, as well as the vice chancellor at Auckland University. The advisory that he talks about, the GACBS, is the Global Advisory Committee on Vaccine Safety. So I think the word global in that almost tells you that it was of great importance as to what was said at the GACBS hearing in Japan. The allegations Dr. Lee has made have blatantly come out, pointing out, to the best of our knowledge, to the best of his knowledge, if you read through the emails that he has referenced, a little cover-up, to be blunt. They asked for an opinion on an expert opinion to put to the Japanese hearing, tribunal hearing, whatever it was, and they picked on somebody from New Zealand, and the email just alludes to quite a deep coercion in terms of what was put forward. I think the general public needs to get out there and actually read Dr. Lee's allegations, to read the attachments to the allegations, the emails that were flipped between the WHO representative, Dr. Pless, Helen Patusis-Harris, etc., etc. I think they can make up their own minds, having read it, as to what went down. And the links are flying through social media, but they are on our website at Guardians of the Web in New Zealand. They can go and have a look at them. I believe that there is a huge cover-up going on. I have personally emailed these allegations to every single media outlet I can find, whether it's radio, television, or website. Here in New Zealand, I have sent them abroad, and we are just not getting coverage. I don't know what is going on. I don't know whether it's too scientific for them to wrap their heads around. I don't know whether there is a deliberate ignorance of what is going on, or whether they've been blatantly told not to cover the subject.
I'm sure they've been blatantly told not to cover the subject. How about letters to the editors? Have you attempted that, or is that the way you've been going?
No, well, the letters have been sent to the editors, to so-called journalists, to investigative journalists, to you name it, you know, the news desk. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, I've had a couple of people message me saying, can I get a copy, please, because I haven't seen it. I've had a couple actually call me up and say, I'd like to see the documentation. I then send it through, follow it up with a phone call to say, are you going to bite on the story? Can I give you an interview? No response. So once they reach the information, there is a silence. And that to me is really strange.
Yeah, silence is golden, except when it pertains to our children's survival. Your daughter's with you, and I know that you have a lot more to say, but I just can't help but say, hi, Tawny, say hello.
Hi, there.
Would you like to tell the audience, before your mother proceeds, about the reactions, about your life before and after Gardasil? I think this is kind of a good juncture to do that.
Yeah, sure.
So I had Gardasil when I was 11, so 2010, and that was the beginning of year 8, so the last year of primary school. And before that, I had done dancing since I was 5, and acrobatics and cheerleading, and I was doing cheerleading 3 times a week for 3 hours a night competitively. So I competed 5 times a year. And then obviously I went to school, so I didn't really have a lot of free time. I was always doing something. And then after Gardasil, like straight after each injection, I would be sick. I would have pain from my shoulder where the injection was down my arm. And I would have like fevers and nausea and stuff, but obviously they tell you that's going to happen, so we brushed it off. And as the years progressed, I had a build-up of symptoms coming on every few months. And before that, I had only ever been to the doctor for cheerleading injuries or dance injuries. I hardly ever got sick, and if I got sick, it was something like food poisoning.
So tell us about the injuries that are, you know, long-term that you have acquired and that have not gone away, or those you have acquired and that have gone away.
So the most prominent ones that I've had are nausea, severe headache, body pain, not to the point where I can't walk, but that stopped me from, well, that stopped me from doing cheerleading. I don't do cheerleading anymore. And anxiety, that's probably one of the most crippling because it stops you mentally from doing things. Physically, it's a bit different. But before that, I had never had anything like that. This was all brought on by Gardasil.
Right. You can't do cheerleading and have be thrown up in the air by someone other than a trusted family member, maybe, and not have anxiety. But you were able to do that, and now anxiety is part of your life. Boy, that's as far afield as what your real personality is. Then, so it has changed your personality.
Definitely. I used to be quite outgoing as a child, and I find that I've become quite introvert, which I've started coming out of again, but it did knock me back quite a few steps.
So you were outgoing, then introverted, and you're kind of clawing your way back to your former, well, now, what has it curtailed your ability to attend school?
In my last year of high school last year, and about 3 months into the school year, so March, I had to drop out of high school and start doing homeschooling because not only was the nausea and the headaches too prominent, I couldn't take loud noises or bright lights. And the anxiety crippled me too much to spend time in a loud classroom.
Well, what message do you have for the legislators who will listen to this? Because I will send it to them. The whole purpose is to wake up the people who are responsible for the wellness of our children. And if you recommend or vote in favor of this vaccine to be given without parental consent or to add it to the schedule of mandated vaccines to attend school, then you need to know message from Tawny to you. Or if you're a pediatrician who is denying the common outcomes from the vaccine, you need to hear this message too.
I would just say wake up, because we've woken up to the fact that other vaccines cause damage, but for some reason there's a blanket coverage on this particular vaccine, which is not okay because, from what I can tell, it's actually one of the most dangerous because the aluminium, like, bounds itself to your soft tissue, therefore making it hard to expel. So that's why people need to wake up and see that there is something wrong here, otherwise so many more girls are going to get sick. So many more girls are going to die, and no one should have to go through what I and so many other girls have gone through already.
Okay, well, the studies that Dr. Lee has generated himself, and Lucia Tomljenovic, and I believe a Dr. Shaw, these were two separate studies. One was Lee, one was Tomljenovic Shaw. And what happened is they took the two studies, they combined them to present this to the Japanese government, and then they dismissed them both as irrelevant. These were two very explosive studies explaining why the girls were having real serious and multitudes of difficulties. And they combined them and then dismissed them as irrelevant, presenting them to the Japanese government as evidence as why this is a dangerous vaccine. So the evidence is there. This is not like the CDC whistleblower. This is a worldwide global cover-up. And anybody can be interviewed about this at all, at all times, unlike the CDC whistleblower who can only report to Congress. He cannot be interviewed. He can only report to Congress. So this can be reported to anyone who's willing to ask.
So now, I think an important point to bring to the public's attention is that whether you actually understand the science behind what Dr. Lee is saying, whether you know what an L1 particle is or an L1 gene DNA fragment is, whether you know anything about biotechnology, macrophages, you name it, he mentions it, really matter. What matters is that it appears the Japanese hearing was lied to. There was a collusion to hide the correct information. That is the important part to get out here. The fact that stuff has been tethered, stuff has been misworded, reworded, I can't find the words that I'm looking for right now for the moment. That is where the deception comes in, and that it should be made public knowledge. The fact that the media aren't picking up on that is scary, because this was a global advisory committee, and I think just about every country in the world that was doing HPV vaccinations and is doing HPV vaccinations relied on this information to base their decisions on.
It's a fine line between cover-up and intent, you know? And I always say, if you want to know the intent, look at the ingredients. But there's so much more to intent than just that. It's a deliberate lack of study. Like, these people have done independent study. You know, these are not funded, but these were not funded by the WHO. And quite frankly, knowing what I know about the WHO and the CDC, I would not trust any studies funded by them.
You know, I mean, Dr. Lee has basically set out that in his open letter, that they deliberately set out to believe the Japanese authority. That's what he believes, and given Dr. Lee's qualifications and his study of the HPV genes, I can't not believe it, especially when I see the emails that were attached to his open letter. It astounds me that there is this silence that is continuing to pervade everything that we're doing.
Well, there was an article written by SaneVax that came out last January, in 2015, and it came out in time for me to show this to the New York City Health Committee for the New York City Council. And it said that HPV does not cause cervical cancer. Now, the author invited anyone to challenge him on this, and no one has. I have heard this time and again from people who are well-researched in this issue, that HPV does not cause cervical cancer. So right there, we've got a problem. We've got a problem right out the starting gate, you know? And it hasn't gotten better, because everybody presumes that kernel of knowledge is all important, We have Cervical Cancer Awareness Month here in New York City to drive the uptake of the HPV vaccine. So this is being ignored. A fundamental, critical issue is being ignored
by everybody globally.
So
all I can say is shame on media. Who are you being bought by?
Well, shame on the health professions that don't report the adverse reactions as associated with the vaccines, be it the HPV vaccine, meningitis vaccine, the hepatitis B vaccine, the vitamin K vaccine, you name it. They are seeing the stress in these children post-vaccination. They know it's caused by the vaccination, and they're not reporting it to theirs, which is the one outlet they have to report it to, and they are supposed to. It is their job to do that.
Exactly. You know, an interesting thought is, you read Dr. Lee's statement right at the opening of this interview. One of the things he said was that there is no excuse for intentionally ignoring scientific evidence, and that anyone who blindly dismisses the valid safety of these concerns, the validity of these safety concerns, and continue to promote HPV should be held accountable for their actions. Anyone thought, what about the school with a new school term here in New Zealand starting in the new year beginning and girls about to be vaccinated in droves, I would imagine, and probably a whole bunch of boys too. Has anyone thought to advise the school? Has anyone thought to advise the local GPs who will be taking bookings for the HPV vaccine? You know, is what is frightening me, that there are people out there who, because of this blanket ban on coverage, and I'm calling it a ban for want of a better word, they may not be aware of Dr. Lee's allegations. They may, if they haven't got Facebook, God forbid, they may not have seen these allegations. Who is held responsible for not notifying a school that shouldn't be vaccinating until it's been investigated?
Now, are they vaccinating in the schools for the HPV vaccine, Gail?
They were indeed. I don't know if they still are, but I haven't looked into the current program to see whether it's still on, but yes, the schools were lining the girls up and vaccinating them in the school hall. You know, med centers or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know.
My daughter's was done at the school library.
Oh. And you were not informed?
I was informed. I basically did this was back in 2010, remember, I did a bit of a Google search on HPV when we got the consent form come through the mail. I had previously stopped vaccinating. I had vaccinated my kids all the way through until we got the meningococcal one. I looked at the meningococcal one and went, you know what, kids, you don't need this. You can just not share your drink bottle, don't share your spit and saliva with anybody. You should be fine. And then the HPV notice came around, and I did a bit of a Google search and couldn't see anything bad in those days, you know, the media ban. The things that popped up on Google were, I'd say, it's been trialed, it's gone through all the safety procedures, minimal complaints, da-da-da-da-da. So I went ahead and signed the form. And as I said in my last interview, I have kicked myself ever since. It's what drives me every day to keep fighting this here in New Zealand and globally, but to keep raising awareness of the dangers of this vaccine, because I don't want any other mother to go through what I went through, the guilt I felt for having signed that damn consent form. And I certainly don't want any other girls or boys suffering the way my daughter has. She has not had a teenage life. She has had 5 to 6 years of sitting in the house every weekend while friends go partying, while friends go to camp, while friends go to the beach. She hasn't been able to do this.
And formerly stupefyingly active and competitive.
Stupefyingly active, stupefyingly extroverted, to the point where, as a child, we used to fear for her because she would go up and talk to complete strangers in restaurants and
sit down and have a meal with complete strangers. She used to worry us because she was so outgoing.
Wow. I really hope that one day, above all, is restored, is her natural ability to wish to interact with people. Now, I have to tell you, I would not trust adults if I were born in this day and age. I would not trust adults at all. I know one child who's about two, you know, because you and I'm sure you approach complete strangers and inform them about vaccines, just knowing who you are. I'm sure you do this. I'm not even asking. And so do I. But this one little girl who was about 2 years old said, thank you, 60 times, 60 times to me after I had spoken to her mother. I don't look at children anymore. I can't bear the dull look in their eyes. I really cannot bear to look at children. As much as I want them to survive, I just no longer can look at them. And so I only speak to the parents. I completely ignore the children. But this child wanted to thank me 60 times, and the parents were so, oh, that's so cute. You have a way with children. I said, no, I'm talking about her survival. She's only 2 or 3 years old, but she knows that these vaccines will kill her. So you can listen to me and save this child's life, or you can ignore me and ignore her repeated thank yous, and she will die. She has to die. Do you know that we're almost, if these recent Gardasil vaccine shots go through, they're, you know, every 5 years, 3 doses, so that's 6. And then we just got 2 meningococcal meningitis, and then 5 flu shots for the young ones. There will be over 80 vaccines. Children cannot survive this. This is literally an issue of survival.
Yes, it's a very serious thing. And it's true what you say. Kids these days are waking up to it. Unfortunately, I know a girl whose parents said no. Signed a consent form and said, no, thank you, we don't want the vaccine. For a variety of reasons, some of them have had reactions just were anti completely the whole idea of HPV on a sexual basis. So there were a lot of reasons why parents said no. I know of 2 girls in particular whose parents said no. They had discussed it at length with the girls. The girls happened to be 16 years of age. One was told outright, in her words, you will die if you don't get this vaccine. So she signed the form as a 16-year-old. The other one was coerced into it by saying words along the lines, I've got it written in an words along the lines of, you will get HPV, you will get sick, you will be very, very sick if you don't get the vaccine. So she ruled out her mother.
Right, and nobody's culpable. Everyone's culpable, nobody's liable. You know?
You know, what gets me when you look at the vaccine is that we are this consent form. Well, where's the reciprocal for the GP or the administrator of the vaccine, the head nurse or junior nurse who's doing the vaccine? Where is the consent from them saying, if something goes wrong, I'm going to be held liable because I believe the vaccine to be safe. I've done my homework. I have read the data safety sheet and believe it's okay.
I have heard one, you know, there is a consent form called the Physician's Warranty of Vaccine Safety, and any doctor can sign it. No doctor I've ever heard of has. But I have heard of one doctor who assured a family that if anything that happened to their child, he would take economic responsibility. And he actually did. But that's once in all of the millions of vaccine-injured children.
Yeah. I mean, half of the doctors won't even admit that Gardasil is a problem with these girls. You know, it's in their heads. It's well, evidence. Oh, you had an accident on the same day and broke your leg. Was that related to the vaccine? These symptoms don't often appear immediately. Sure, some of the girls do. They literally walk or not walk out of there. They collapse and they're sick forever after. But the vast majority of girls find the symptoms creeping in month after month after month. And they're debilitated by it. But
you try and tell that to a doctor, and you laughed out of the consulting room.
Well, I had a couple of mothers of artisful girls come and speak at City Hall, and two of the issues they brought up, one of them was that the what is wrong does not appear on the charts they have. So they can't identify it, so they don't accept it. That was said by, pardon me, I'm sorry, I've had a cold for a couple of days. That was said by an oncology nurse. Hold on just a second.
Now, Gardasil, start learning about HPV. You know, as someone pointed out to me recently, educate yourself. You can't just take what the officials are saying anymore on a blind faith. We put our public, our trust in the public health system for so many years. We put our trust in the GP. I think mine will be blown out of the window. You, as hearers, need to open your eyes. Some people say the HPV brigade. Because we're not. We gave our kids the damn vaccination. We can't be anti-vax. You need to do your homework. Read. Google. Do anything you have to do. Question your doctors. Question your hospital. Question your consultants. If they haven't read the data safety sheet, print it out for them and give it to them and say, would you choose this for your child? And perhaps we need to start asking them to put this guarantee in writing before we give it to our kids, that they will be held responsible. Not that that's going to get your daughter's life back once it's ruined through the HPV. And I'm sorry, but Dr. Lee's brought out some serious allegations, and the media needs to step up, open the doors to this, and look into it. An investigative journalist needs to get hold of the damn story and blow it out of the water worldwide.
Well, Sandy Leno has reported it for VaxTruth.com. And, of course, Norma Erickson for SaneVax.org, and the Weston A. Price Foundation, as I mentioned earlier, and another very good one that is by Green Med Info. This is a very well broken down article on this entire issue, and I'll put this as well in the comment area and all the other articles I refer to. But yeah, this has been well reported on in the alternative media, and this is why the New York Times is irrelevant. The New York Post, the New York Daily News, I speak for, as a New Yorker in my local places, right? But these are huge papers, very thin papers now. You look at the Sunday Times, it used to be, 6 inches, maybe 8 inches, maybe 10 inches thick. Now, I don't know. An inch. People are not paying attention to news that is not reporting what. Every time I look at the news in the evening, I go, "You consider that important? When how many children died from the hepatitis B this morning when they were born in every hospital across America and elsewhere? And you're reporting on this?"
Same issue here in New Zealand. We call them slow news days because they all talk about what's happening in the neighbourhood in terms of some do-gooder rather than what's actually the real issue.
Well, they're blowing up things that are, you know, I remember somebody said, do you know that 12 cops killed one man? I said, really? It took 12 cops to kill one man? It only takes one pediatrician to kill thousands of kids.
That's a great thing.
So we are not reporting the news. The news is that our children are going down in droves and that it is connected to the vaccination. And if it weren't for this immense increase in the number of vaccines and my basically seeing my sister, who was severely mentally retarded from vaccination after an annual checkup, but my mother didn't know it was a vaccine. She knew it was after an annual checkup, but she didn't know what it was. And boy, her symptoms were varied and excessive, you know. But I kept seeing more and more children who reminded me of my sister, and I started to stop the parents and go, "Hi, my name's Sally. My sister was severely mentally retarded. What's the matter with your kid? You know, like, I'm dying to know what's going on. Everyone's reminding me of my sister." And every last one of them said, and I didn't solicit this, I really just was wondering. I just said, "What's the matter? My doctor said it wasn't the vaccine." And I'm like, wow, man, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to have to conclude, in fact, it's the vaccine.
Does make you wonder. Does indeed actually quite frightening.
Well, let us go through the two articles that you wrote and cover the points that you make, if you would, because I'm lucky to have someone who's taken the time to write articles to come on my program and talk about this issue in terms of the points they have raised in particular.
Sure. Sure. I did specifically write the first one. The first one was literally just the breaking news of Dr. Lee's charges. I put out a release on our website, which basically said I was delighted with the fact that this had come to light. The fact that I had been banging my head against a brick wall with our Minister of Health for a number of months, emails flying back to and fro, it was just great news to have some sort of concrete evidence that what we had believed personally was in fact true, that somebody somewhere was hiding the dangers of this vaccine. So it was a huge relief, massive relief. The second link is an open letter that I recently sent out from GAN, from myself as the founder of Garda Filawini New Zealand, to the Vice-Chancellor at Auckland University, and copied in the Prime Minister and our Minister of Health and the Chair of the New Zealand Health Select Committee, which basically just put some questions to them all related to the science, related to Dr. Patousis-Harris's experience, whether she'd had any published papers previously. Just it's worth the public having a read of it because it is fairly lengthy. But if you read through, forget the science, as I said, if you're not interested in actually learning about the science at this point, questioning that I have put to the university and put out in the public now, you know, I'm at a loss to understand why people don't want to know about this. Why?
I'll tell you why. You can't wake someone who isn't asleep. Someone told me that the other day. I said, oh, that's beautifully put. You cannot wake someone who isn't asleep. They're not asleep. They know what's going on. You've been educating them forever. I have been educating them since 2009. And all I can say is if they know, you know, you can't educate someone who already knows it. And the CDC knows it, and the World Health Organization know it, and they are the advisors to our government, our legislators, and I've been educating them. I walk into the city council, they call me vaccine-free NYC. They know who I am. They know my legislation. They know me by my legislation. And on the legislation is all of the ingredients, all of the diseases, four parts of intent, the infant mortality rate linked to the vaccines, vaccinated versus unvaccinated study from Germany, and the Nuremberg Code. So it's just the basics. And so they know that. And if you know that and you're not interested to look further or just to, I said to people, you don't have to sponsor the legislation with all three parts. You can do it just for the ingredients, just for the diseases, or just for the intent. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, some people are waking up, and some people are just, as you say, dormant. They're not even asleep. They're just dead at the wheel. The American College of Pediatricians, I believe, has released a statement, that an official statement warning that the HPV can cause a serious condition of premature ovarian failure, which is, for those who don't know, premature menopause, can you imagine a 13-year-old or 14-year-old going through menopause? I mean, God, it's bad enough when you're 50. Let's be serious. So they have taken that step. What is unfortunate is that they've only addressed the issue of ovarian failure.
Right, but it's, I have to tell you, in all my born days, when I tell people children are dying from vaccines and that this is an issue of depopulation, they don't get it. I'm like, okay, well, if you don't get the death issue as related to depopulation, perhaps you'll get the sterilization, the lack of fertility. Do you get that? And they will say yes. So they do at least get the fact that children are having an early menopause as related to depopulation.
Well, here's just something interesting that was brought to my attention 2 days ago. A joint statement was issued by the National Cancer Institute Designated Center recommending that boys and girls receive 3 doses of the HPV vaccine at ages 11 or 12. Okay, here's one question. The NCI's joint statement comes 1 week after a global HPV vaccine research fraud scandal broke publicly. That scandal has still not been addressed by the guilty party, the authorities, or medical regulatory bodies. Seek in fact to come out of that. Acting director of the National Cancer Institute is a Douglas R. Lowry, MD, and I believe I've been told that he has an inventor, quote, inventor on government-owned patents for HPV vaccines licensed to Merck Incorporated and GlaxoSmithKline. I'm also told that he's received numerous honors for his technology that enables the preventative HPV vaccine. Do you find that interesting?
All I know is that anytime someone's getting honors, they're hurting children.
I just found it astounding that the statement came out from the NCI 1 week after these allegations were made by Dr. Lee. And as you said, it's very timely, given it's Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. Suddenly, we have people promoting HPV vaccines everywhere but Lee.
And there's never, you know, they advertise it on television as a public service announcement, and they'll give you 1,000 reasons to fear cervical cancer, but not one reason to fear the vaccine, which they, of course, are promoting. So this is unlike any other pharmaceutical drug. It is not vaccines are not categorized as pharmaceutical drugs by the FDA. They are categorized or classified as a health program, so that they do not undergo gold standard testing. They can get away with PSAs with no adverse events, and your doctor doesn't really have to tell you the truth at the end of the day. Because if the television doesn't have to report it, why would they have to report it? This is a massive cover-up, and it's being cloaked as a health program, and we are beseeching our elected officials to take a stand to protect their constituents.
Yeah, it's I think it's a duty of care from our government, from our New Zealand Health Committees, a duty of care to the public of New Zealand, to the public of the world who must follow suit, given that the world is now looking at New Zealand for answers. New Zealand has been trying to smack bang into the middle of the scandal, and we're doing nothing. You know, we have an image in New Zealand that is almighty protective of our clean, green environment. And yet here we are poisoning girls and boys the vaccine that now has serious doubts raised by somebody whose qualifications I believe back up. It's, you know, there's just no response.